Previously on Mountain Men.
And for today's forecast, strong gale force winds causing whiteout conditions.
Marty struggled to make his deadline.
This is impossible flying weather. If I don't get my furs in tomorrow, I'll miss the shipping date.
This is all I need.
And he came up short.
Marty, this is all you get.
I screwed up on this one.
In Montana, Tom continued a winter-long standoff with the local predators.
The wolves, they've lost their fear of man.
While his busiest part of the year kicked into high gear.
We're just trying to get stuff all done. And it's all up to us to do it.
And Eustace Conway fought to try and keep his land by any means necessary.
Someone takes this land, it'll be like backing a furious animal into the corner. And I'll attack with a viciousness that they've never seen in a tame man.
Above Triplet, North Carolina, the temperatures have risen to 60 degrees. Unseasonably warm for this time of year.
Yeah, good boy. Yeah, it's one beautiful spring morning. What an inspiration after a winter.
Eustace Conway has worked all winter long to hold on to his 1,000 acres of land. But now he's worried about his food supply.
The danger of a warm spring is the blossoms come out earlier than they're supposed to. And then everything dies when the blossoms get frozen. That's the end of them. They'll never make a fruit.
And with a lien against his property, Eustace must still utilize the weather to his advantage.
Today I'm going to look in the kale patch and see how it's making. I think I might eat some of that kale for breakfast. Wow. Kale, kale, kale. Kale, yeah.
There is no crop on Turtle Island that's more important than his kale.
And this is what I call the breakfast of champions right here.
Eustace will need to monitor the gardens closely over the coming weeks to ensure the changing temperatures don't ruin his harvest.
I didn't know if this kale was going to make it when I planted it. I didn't even know if it would come up.
Last fall, bad weather and the threat of an early frost pushed Eustace to his limits while planting his kale crops.
I gotta keep on going. If I can see, I gotta do this. Go ahead. Ha! I'm trying to get something to eat this year. Woo! These kale plants never know how much I stressed over getting it done. Man, I'm so glad this made it through the... Good God!
Due to the remote and untouched nature of Turtle Island, it can be a prime spot for local hunters.
God.
They have trespassed on Eustace's land during the off-season to avoid detection by game wardens.
I guess it's an ancient story, you know. People are always taken from somebody else. Preston!
I've just heard some shots up on the ridge. I think they're after those turkey just like last year. And I want to go find them. I can't stand it.
I heard a gunshot off in the distance, and evidently there's a bit of a poaching situation going on. Eustace feels like that's a real invasion of his property.
There's something about it, you know. I've worked so hard for so long, and I've put up with this so long. You know, if it was the first trespasser ever, you know, I'd have a heart. Preston's going to cover my back. You know, he's got good eyes. Preston can help me find this poacher, and or sometimes we have to divide up.
With an armed trespasser on Turtle Island, Eustace takes no chances in order to protect his land.
I think they're up on Chestnut, like they were last year. It's my best guess. They could be somebody that's going to shoot you. So we came loaded and we came serious, you know? It's no game.
While Eustace rushes to investigate the gunshot, 4,300 miles to the northwest in Alaska, Marty Maiorato is dealing with a disappointing haul from his winter on the trap line.
You don't know what to expect. Every day is an adventure. There's no constant out here.
For Marty, everything that could have gone wrong did. He had machine breakdowns.
This really sucks.
Terrible weather.
This is impossible flying weather.
and a low amount of furs.
Nothing. If there's not any fur there, there's no use trapping it.
Throughout the entire season, he made only $4,000. This means Marty will need to head back to the mountains.
There are so many variables and so many things that can happen. You just never know.
Marty needs to hunt to bring in food for the family and to supply more furs that he can sell to his buyer.
Well, that felt pretty good. If you got to buy meat in a store, it's the beginning of the end.
Marty will be looking to bag a couple of Alaskan caribou. The herds here are massive, numbering up to 950,000.
We want to put meat in the freezer. To me, this is an important hunt just for the family's sake.
One adult male can yield up to 200 pounds of meat. These caribou will be crucial in filling their meat locker.
Fire and hold.
But this is a different hunt for Marty. After months of being away from his daughter, Noah needs her father.
Come on, babe.
His wife, Dominique, pressures him to take her along.
This particular caribou hunt, there's a little more preparation because I'm taking Dominique and Noah. I'm pre-flighting the plane just to make sure there's nothing broke from the last time I beat up on it. So I'm just making sure everything's as it should be.
The maximum weight that the plane can lift is 1,750 pounds. This includes three people, his supplies, and gasoline, which doesn't leave much room for the extra gear.
When I have Dominic and Noah in the plane, that's when I really worry, because on a short runway, it's always a guess how much weight you can take, but you know if you take too much, it won't fly. What up, baby?
Put her feet right in the hole. Okay, on the other hip.
It's always kind of an anxious moment to load up the plane. How much gas should you take? How far do I have to go? What if I run into bad weather? If I come in and I'm heavy and I can't slow it down, I could wreck. On almost every hunt where you're flying, the biggest challenge is the flying aspect of it. That's the real anxious time. These little planes have no instrumentation at all. You can't fly by instruments. I mean, if you lose sight of the ground, you're going to crash.
The unpredictability of the Alaskan weather is a worry that Marty always has to deal with.
Weather and flying, they don't mix. That's the biggest challenge.
But now he's taking his entire family.
Well, the biggest worry is getting everything and everybody in one piece on a short strip.
While Marty flies deep into the Alaskan wilderness, 2,500 miles to the south, Tom Orr is still dealing with a long Montana winter.
Looks like spring's just around the corner. The ice is breaking up here in the river, and that's a hustling time of year for us now.
One of Tom's main sources of income is making one-of-a-kind moccasins, custom knives, and traditional clothing, using ancient techniques he's learned in the mountains.
We've got lots of things to make, so it's pretty important to us that we have to get going this time of year.
The money Tom makes will help him get through the rest of the year. Late winter is a busy time for Tom because it's when adult male deer shed their antlers.
We're kind of short on things, and we need to manufacture some nice antler stuff. The bucks lose their antlers in the wintertime, and they just lay in the snow. And if we can find a good area where there's been a lot of deer through in the wintertime, we'll find some good shed antlers.
Tom's neighbor Tim recently told him of a spot where he found quite a few antlers and offers to take them there.
Hey, Tim.
Hi.
Hi, buddy.
How are you?
Good.
How are you? Nice to see you, pal. Good.
Good to see you. He does lots of antler hunting, and he hunts lots of this country.
Tom's goal for the day is simple. Find the two antlers he needs to complete the two knives he's working on.
I had some good success up on the mountain above the Shame. 2 days ago, I was out just for a couple hours, yeah. but I found one immediately.
Really?
And that's pretty good. Yeah. Pretty good winter range. There were a ton of deer in there.
Yeah. I got to get L in. I got everything ready to go, so.
Tom and Tim are heading to the Kootenai National Forest. This area is a traditional shedding area for the local deer population. Tom hopes to find some antlers about 30 miles into this wilderness.
Over this way, pal. I saw them over here yesterday.
Over in here?
You could still call this late winter rather than early spring. Once you get up here, I think literally we're sitting right now like 3,500 feet in elevation.
It's raining pretty good, isn't it?
And we could get 6 inches of snow tonight. It wouldn't surprise me like that.
Due to the freezing temperatures and the possibility of a heavy snowfall, they must work quickly or risk losing the antlers needed to complete Tom's projects.
Let's slide into this draw, pal. I've found them in there before.
It's nice to not have to walk in the snow.
It sure is, isn't it? Yeah.
Find an antler, Ellie. Find an antler. She's used to picking up antlers, and she's even found the match set one time.
Tom's still training Ellie to find antlers, so they need to be extra vigilant that she stays on task.
We just need to keep track of Ellie and all this thick stuff down
here. I'll keep an eye on her too, pal. A lot more out here to grab our dogs now.
They also need to be wary of bears waking from hibernation. Because of the early winter this year, the animals weighed less than normal going into hibernation. Now they're hungrier than ever.
There's a bear, pal.
Yeah, it was a big bear, though.
Wouldn't surprise me if we started to see bears the next couple days.
Yeah, it's getting that time of year. I was out here in the woods, whether it's wolves or bears or coyotes or lions. I mean, there's all kinds of things you can get in trouble with out here. The big males are the ones that come out first. The females will stay in their dens a little bit longer, get their cubs big enough so they can start traveling with the females.
One of the main problems with searching near the tree line is the compromised visibility.
Did you hear that? Something crashed down in there.
Coming up.
It was right down into that thick.
Eustace tracks down the poacher.
There he is.
Hey! Hey!
And he's ready for anything. Deep in the Rockies of Montana, Tom Orr and his friend Tim are on the hunt for antlers that deer shed this time of year.
Find an antler, Ellie. Find an antler.
Got it, girl.
Tom will be using them to make traditional items to sell.
I'd have thought we'd have found a few by now.
I thought so, too.
But with bears waking from hibernation, it has both of them concerned.
Wouldn't surprise me if we started to see bears the next couple days.
Yeah, it's getting that time of year.
The men have already seen evidence of bear activity in the area.
There's a bear,
huh? Yeah, there's a big bear, though.
Did you hear that? Something just moved right on down through there.
Oh.
Listen. But this is the time of year. I mean, bears are coming out right now. This is it. This is literally when they start to move. You ever get the feeling on some days you're being watched or followed by something?
Yeah.
Where's Ellie?
Ellie, come!
They become concerned that Ellie has slipped out of sight.
Hey, he got an antler. Ellie, come. Come here. Come here. Well, come on. Here.
The antler will be used to make multiple items for Tom to sell.
That's right.
Well, we use these for the buttons, but we use this part for the handle. That makes a nice handle for
Nice. Beautiful. Yeah.
This time of year, Tom and Nancy are really pushing to get their product. I mean, they're in business. This is what they do for a living.
With daylight fading quickly, they'll need to look for more.
I had a feeling we'd find some. You know what I mean? This is always pretty good up through here.
Picking up an antler is just like picking up a $20 bill. We could use a few more antlers.
Well, anyway, ready?
Yeah.
We're going to swing around down now.
Yeah, we might as well.
Nice to be on high ground again.
All right. Look at Ellie.
Hey. Good puppy.
Ellie. We got a lot of buttons and a couple knife handles that we can make out of this, and Nancy be proud.
Oh, I'm happy for you.
Yeah, really? Well, I only found one, and I found one. Now it's your turn.
With temperatures dropping below zero, they need to head back to the truck. But after a five-mile hike, Tom's knees are giving him trouble.
I turned around a couple of times, and I could see that he was starting to favor that one bad knee.
I've got bad knees from the old rodeo days, and a swollen knee, it kind of puts me out of business.
While Tom struggles to head back, up north in Alaska, Marty and his family are en route to their hunting grounds.
It's always kind of an anxious moment to see how much weight you can take when I have Dominic and Noah in the plane. That's when I really worry. You know, the shorter the landing strip, the less weight I can haul.
After a 3-hour flight, Marty prepares for the landing. Job number one is securing his plane.
The old bowling knot from my commercial fishing days. If something goes wrong with that plane, we're in a lot of trouble. You always worry about it. Once you get here, you're worried about the wind blowing it around, so you know, you tie it down. The plane is everything. It's the only way to access this country. Fairbanks is probably close to 100 miles away, and there's no roads. Well, you ain't gonna walk out of here.
Marty's daughter, Noah, has grown up in Alaska, so this isn't her first hunt.
Oh, where?
And she's eager to show off her tracking skills.
Yeah, right there.
I want Noah to see all aspects of the hunt.
You see him?
The largest caribou herd totals 500,000. In Alaska, they outnumber people nearly 2-1.
God's country.
You're scaring them away, mister.
Before the family can hunt, they must set up camp. But in bear country, Marty must take the necessary precautions when picking the proper location.
Dominique and Noah are setting up the tent. We've got a good spot for the tent. It's kind of out of the wind.
A late start means that after making camp, the hunt will have to wait until tomorrow morning. The calm morning changes quickly.
No caribou moving yet this morning.
Ooh, there's a grizzly.
Probably looking for that kill. He can smell it, but he's looking around. We'd be our neighbor for the rest of the time we're here, no doubt.
With over 30,000 grizzly bears in Alaska, Marty must use caution as he begins his hunt.
There's bulls right down there in that brush.
With Dominique on the trip, it means that they can function as a team.
Dominique, it's go time.
We just dropped everything and booked it over there.
Caribou are always moving. You have to see them early and then get ahead of them. It's kind of a challenge, because if you start following caribou, you won't catch them. They're covering ground.
Come on, Noah, get back right over there. Go back right over there.
You got to hope the wind's right, too, and that they don't see you.
When I am just about to pull the trigger, I am making sure I have the best shot I can make. All right, I'm going to shoot.
Okay.
While Marty and Dominique hunt for caribou in Alaska, 4,300 miles southeast, Eustace Conway is racing into the mountains to pursue a poacher that is illegally hunting on his land.
When I heard that shot, I knew I had to do something.
We don't take trespassing lightly, and poaching is a pretty serious thing.
This isn't the first time Eustace has dealt with a poacher. Tracking has become second nature to him.
You just start looking and shotgun approach real fast, going along with horses, seeing if you're going to pick up any sloppy tracks. We don't know if they came in on a truck or a four-wheeler or walking. Don't know if there's four of them, five of them. You know, you just don't know anything. You just start looking for clues.
The fresh tracks are easy to spot because the ground is still damp from a recent rainstorm.
Preston, I think we got tracks down here. And those are fresh. See them right through here?
Yeah.
We found some four-wheeler tracks, and that helped guide us and sort of start putting the mystery together, figure out where they were coming in from, and for sure that we were in the right place, because when a shot like that, it echoes and bounces around all over the ridge, you don't really know if you're in the right place. You're just guessing. Are you seeing anything, Preston?
Not much.
And I know they've got to be in here.
You'd think they'd come right through here, wouldn't you?
This is the best place to access that turkey area that I know of. I don't even know if he knows that we're on him. I hear some fresh tracks right here.
Most poachers in this area are sloppy and are easily found. It won't be long until they find him.
He's headed towards that thick part, isn't he?
Yeah, he is going in that thick stuff.
I believe we're headed into a laurel hill. Finally got into some stuff that's just too thick for the horses. Had to tie them up, and then we moved from there to tracking by foot.
When a poacher shoots a gun right above my head up on the ridge, I've got to go see what's going on. So that forces me to drop everything I'm doing and take off, put myself at danger. It just makes me so mad to have to deal with that.
What do you think?
I think I'd like to at least let them know they're not welcome here. Hey, wait a minute. I'm not sure, but I think that looks a little contrived over there.
It's definitely dense, isn't it?
I don't know if he's still in there or not. That looks like a blind, though. Tell you what, let me circle down this way. It'd be better if we broke up a little bit.
We couldn't tell if there was a hunter in that blind or not. You're talking about dealing with a trespasser that's armed.
Hey.
High in the Blue Ridge Mountains of North Carolina, Eustace Conway's morning was disrupted when a gunshot rang out. He and his friend Preston have spent the rest of the morning tracking a poacher on his property.
Hey, wait a minute. I'm not sure, but I think that looks a little contrived over there.
They've spotted a hunting blind. With an armed poacher nearby, they must approach with caution.
Hey! Anybody in there?
I don't think he's in there, Eustace.
And when I saw those fresh leaves on the blind, I figured that we probably had the scene of the poaching.
Eustace, there's nobody in here.
You sure?
He's cleared out, but there's fresh sign all over the place in here, Eustace. He's been here recent. There's a shell.
And then when Preston found that shotgun shell in there.
That's fresh. He just shot that thing. That's been shot this day.
Yeah. For one, it was a turkey load, and then you could smell. You smell that fresh powder in there. It just been shot off, you know, just an hour before, if even. Well, we know where he's been. Now it's a matter of figuring out where he is.
You know, he's definitely set up to go out that direction. Of course, this blind isn't in very good shape. It's like he came back to it or something.
So this is not the first time they've been here.
That's right. He's been in here before.
As they examine closer, they find more evidence of a turkey killed out of season.
Sure enough, there was the feathers where the turkey had been hit.
That looks like that's some of those breast feathers, doesn't it?
Yeah.
I believe he killed that bird.
Man, God, cannot believe it.
It hurts him on a deeper level than I think what it would most people. He's worked so hard. He's devoted his whole life. He sacrifices every penny he's got to this place. And then somebody comes in here and just takes it away.
Let's spread out and just start circling until we can find an exit trail. Just give me an owl call if you find something that you know is hot.
All right, I'll be listening for you.
The two men have spent the better part of their lives in the woods, learning to communicate without speaking.
A crow call, you know, or a little owl call, that will sort of blend in, so it allows us verbal communication without saying, "Hey, Preston!" So when we break up, we can double the amount of territory we're covering. I thought that he would go back towards the road because that's where I guessed he would have come in from.
Eustace and Preston continue to look for the poacher's exit trail. They work quietly, in case they are in earshot of the trespasser.
I've got a trail.
He's got some.
While Eustace and Preston continue to track the poacher, high in the northern Alaskan mountain range, Marty Maiorato and his family are making up for a disappointing season on the trap line. After making only $4,000 all season, Marty came here to get protein and furs that his family will need to get through the rest of the year.
Dominique, it's go time. Grab your rifle.
There's bulls right down there in that brush.
Marty has spotted a caribou for Dominique to take. She must act quickly before the herd moves back into the mountains.
If you start following caribou, you won't catch them. They're covering ground.
When I am just about to pull the trigger, you know, I am making sure I have the best shot I can make.
All right, I'm gonna shoot.
Okay.
Good job, darling. Good job.
That animal, I just am so thankful for it because it's gonna take care of our family.
The animal will supply the family with 200 pounds of meat, and the fur will be used to sell at auction.
Oh, he's a nice bull.
Unbelievable. That is awesome.
Nice.
You're all happy you got your animal, and it's a good, clean kill. But then the work starts.
We better get the guts out of him.
You want to gut it out and get the meat cooling. And you want to get that done as quick as possible.
Come on, let's get to work on this.
Yeah, we need it.
I have a steam knife.
I know you do. I've got one here.
Oh, the steam coming off of that.
You want to gut it out, and then you've got to skin it, and then butcher it. Basically, put it in small enough pieces that you can fly it out.
Hang on to this, baby. Yeah, hey, just hang on to it. Grab it. There's nothing wrong with blood. Hang on to it.
Well, I want Noah to realize that's the natural way of things.
I don't want her to think that it's icky. I want her to get her hands bloody.
There's my tough girl.
That's a girl. Okay, how about right here? See? Got a cut right there.
Don't try to hide any of the detail from her thinking that it's going to be too hard on her young sensibilities or something, because it shouldn't be. That's the way life is.
Noah was able to help butcher for the first time, and she was so proud to do it.
Yeah, good job, baby.
With a grizzly nearby looking for food, Marty and Dominique must move the caribou remains at least 400 feet away from camp.
All right, that's far enough.
The family needs to act quickly because Marty must make two flights home to equally disperse the weight. The first to ferry his family and the caribou meat.
You want to take as much as you can, but you know if you take too much, it won't fly.
And the second will be for Marty's caribou that he must take before dark. He hopes that when he gets back, the caribou herd will still be around.
Now with this caribou, we're setting pretty good, but we need one more.
While Marty rushes to fly his family back home, 2,500 miles away in Montana, Tom and Tim have spent the day hunting antler sheds.
All right.
Look at Ellie.
Hey!
They only found two antlers, but Tom's hoping it is enough to finish up his work.
Picking up an antler is like picking up a $20 bill, or maybe even more by the time we get done with it.
It's getting dark, so they must use the last of the daylight to make the five-mile hike back to the truck.
And then we can get on back to the truck if we just head to the west.
All right.
After a long, hard day of walking, Tom's knees have started acting up.
I turned around a couple of times, and I could see that he was, you know, starting to favor that one bad knee, and that thing will blow up like a grapefruit, and he's done for days.
All right, pal.
The five-mile walk takes them an hour and a half.
That was a long walk.
Yeah,
we
walked a long ways to find just two of them.
There it is, pal.
All right. It's always good to see the truck.
Moving that slow will cost them time, but certainly it will be quick enough to get home before dark.
I'm good. I'm hungry, too.
Yeah, really.
Nothing beats a warm truck on a cold night in the mountains.
Ready?
Yeah.
Well, this sucker is dead.
Well, pop the hood. I don't know.
You stay, Ellie.
The engine won't start, That's something you don't want when you're miles away from the main road.
You want me to try it again?
Yeah, go ahead. Well, what do you want to do?
Deep in the Kootenai National Forest, Tom Orr is having a rough night. His truck is broken 5 miles from the main road.
Well, this sucker is dead.
And even further from home. To get help, it will require at least a 2-hour hike. Not something that he's looking forward to.
We get down to the pickup truck and the damn battery was dead.
You'd have known if it was your alternator yesterday or the day before, right?
Right.
So I don't know. We get to the truck and Tom turns the key and it's dead. And there's always that sinking feeling. All you want to do is get home. And there we were, quite a ways out. Try it now.
Well, it's still got no headlights.
All right.
You want me to try it again?
Yeah, go ahead. Thing's dead. Old blue, not even a sputter. I don't know.
No, we don't even have a cab light, bud.
Yeah, it sucks. What do you want to do? That's a long way out of here. Somebody's got to go. Somebody's got to go do something. We're not, you know, obviously not going to sit there all night. One of us has to start walking.
With the nearest help miles away, another long-distance walk would risk further injuring Tom's knees.
Damn, I hate this to happen. It was 5 miles out to the main road, and, like, I was tired from all the hiking and everything.
I guess I'll just start walking.
You'll walk farther than I can.
I'm dressed for it. I'll just keep walking until I get to the road and then move.
Oh, I hate this, buddy.
Oh.
I should be the one walking.
Tim will be able to make better time alone. Yeah. And with the temperature falling every minute, speed is important.
All right. Hey, buddy, why don't you... You might as well at least take that with you.
Bear spray?
You ought to have it in your pocket.
Well, I was
thinking
about
that. If it's in your
pack,
you can't get to it, bud.
Put it on my belt.
If a bear charges you, you have to stand your ground. And you got to hold that bear spray on the bear. And you got to wait until he gets close enough so that the bear spray is going to reach him.
Giving the bear spray to Tim means that Tom's only defense from predators will be safety inside his truck.
I'll just be over there by them trees, I think.
Okay. All right, I'm going.
All right, bud. Watch out for bears and lions and stuff on the way.
Yeah. I'll be all right. It's going to be a while, though.
Looks like you got a full moon rising anyhow, buddy.
Yeah.
The prospect of being out here without protection doesn't excite Tom, but he's used to it.
Anything could happen, but it's living here. You just be prepared, that's all.
While Tom waits for help, deep in the Blue Ridge Mountains of North Carolina, Eustace and Preston are tracking a poacher. They split up to cover more ground. And Preston has found some tracks.
You get that blood pumping and you're angry all at the same time. It's pretty intense.
I got a trail, Eustace. It's right down this ridge line. He's going right through here.
Show me.
I'll show you.
There's no way for the intruder to know these woods as well as Preston and Eustace.
He's right down into that thick.
Oh, yeah. We got on the fresh tracks there that were really easy to read because at this point he was running, so he was making a much heavier imprint. That hot pursuit's got a big adrenaline rush to it, you know? There he is.
Hey! Hey!
Animal instinct takes over, you know? I don't know if everybody knows what that is, but basically it's just that adrenaline animal that's inside of you. Maybe if you've never met it, but everyone has that inside of us. And the closer you come to getting to introduce yourself to yourself, the more you know the animal within you.
I think he's heading towards the road. Yeah, there he is. Let's see if we can cut him off at the road. Oh, my God.
And Preston caught his foot on a log as he was jumping over it and rolled and fell down. And I was really concerned he might have broken his arm.
Which way did he go? If I saw that guy moving through the woods and he had a shotgun, we could be playing for keeps out here.
There he is. Oh, my God.
I think he's gone, Eustace.
Damn! Oh, son of a...
I think he got the message loud and clear that we weren't messing around. We don't want him up here. We want him off of this land.
Got close enough to see him, but we were standing there in his dust.
4,300 miles north in Alaska, Marty has dropped off his family back home and made the flight back to get another caribou. He's hoping that the herd he saw earlier is still there.
Thought maybe for a second they were going to be out of range.
Marty spots the herd close to the edge of a mountain.
Starting to get into the trees.
This could be Marty's only chance to shoot the second caribou that he desperately needs for his family.
He gave me the perfect broadside shot.
Marty seizes the opportunity.
He's coming up.
And his aim is true.
Oh, yeah.
The caribou will put more money in Marty's pocket and food on his table, but his work is far from over.
I'm gonna just try to get the guts out of him and maybe get him peeled. A lot to do and a little bit of light we got left.
The second caribou means that Marty's flight home will be full. He quickly begins butchering the animal. With the pressure to get back home and a bear roaming the area, Marty will have to move quickly. He can't afford to leave anything behind.
When I shot mine, I was pushing dark, and I pretty much had to go fast. Part of being in bear country is, like, keep an eye on where they're at and what they're doing. In bear country, it's always on your mind. Just take the quarters off and just lay them in the tundra. That's a hind quarter right there. This is where a lot of your steak comes from.
After 30 minutes, Marty is finished with his caribou. Now he must pack his plane and take off. But with darkness approaching, he might be too late.
You know, if you take too much, it won't fly.
Coming up...
What a deal this turned out to be.
Tom spots something lurking in the woods.
Ellie?
In the rough country of Alaska, Marty Maiorato is at a busy day.
Good job, darling.
He's been able to get two caribou for food and furs to sell. He had to take his family and the first caribou home because of his lightweight bush plane. Now, he has to load the other caribou and his gear.
It's always kind of an anxious moment to load up the plane.
Marty has spotted a grizzly in the area, and with the bear's advanced sense of smell, Marty must focus on getting his plane packed for takeoff quickly.
You want to take as much as you can, but you know if you take too much, it won't fly. All right, I'm loaded.
The weight of the meat and gear will make it difficult to take off, but there are no second chances for Marty.
We got about halfway down the runway, and then is this thing going to fly? When the plane flies, it's a relief, especially when you're not sure it's gonna. Once I finally get all the meat and the family and all the gear back, it's a good feeling of accomplishment.
After a poor season on the trap line, this is only the beginning of Marty's work. He still must make up the money lost from his trapping season. His next hunt will have to be successful for him to make it through the year.
But we need more to get us through the winter. I'll just keep looking and we'll get some.
While Marty flies back home, 4,300 miles to the southeast, Eustace is dealing with the threat of a poacher on his land. He managed to escape, and Eustace is frustrated.
Yeah, this kind of thing has happened before. You know, people come up here and they hunt my food, and they take it, they steal it, they're trespassing, they ought to know better.
Where you want to put these signs, Eustace?
I think we'll put some right where they're coming in off of that
new development there.
With few options left, Eustace puts up a series of signs he hopes will deter future trespassers.
Thought there for a minute. I was like, when we saw him, I thought we had him. I really did. We like to have people out here if they're doing it in an unhealthy, wholesome way, but poaching our turkey, that's just not acceptable.
Okay, tilt it more to your right. When I first came to this land, there were no turkeys, and we've seen it grow because I, like, take care of the population.
I think that really some of the most effective measures that we have are just what we did. Get out there, run them down, let them know that we are serious about this.
They obviously knew they weren't on the right place the way they took out of here, and they know now that we don't want them here. That'll do it. Hope that keeps them out.
The lien on his property and poachers trespassing on his land fuels his fight to save Turtle Island.
I'll fight for truth and justice. That's what I've always lived for.
While Eustace makes his way home, back in the Kootenai National Forest in Montana, Tom is preparing for the cold night.
Well, it's getting cold out.
His broken-down truck has left him stranded high above the Yaak Valley.
It's a dangerous place for anybody, really. There's no telling what could happen. You're up here in the woods.
Tom's neighbor Tim left over an hour ago to hike 5 miles to the main road in search of help. But the hope of a quick return is fading fast.
I don't know where I built a fire.
The winter temperatures in Montana can reach lows of 30 degrees below zero. Being exposed to the elements at this time of year is dangerous.
Ooh. Grizzly track. What a deal this turned out to be, I'll tell you.
Bears that wake up early usually only get up for one reason. They're hungry.
You could have a handgun, and you could shoot at this bear as it's running towards you. But if you hit it in the heart, it's going to live another 3 minutes, 5 minutes, maybe 10 minutes. And it could really be mad by then.
Now with the fire going, Tom can start to get warm.
We'll sit by the fire, bud. That fire feels good, though, doesn't it? Did you hear that, Kelly? Can you smell something?
Unfortunately, in this dim light, Tom's sight is severely compromised.
She's kind of spooky like that. Anything she sees that's alive, she usually gives out some kind of little notice that something's around. Ellie? Oh, golly! You made it! We hadn't froze out or nothing.
Let's see if we can get this thing fired up.
I had jumper cables, luckily, in the pickup truck.
Go turn it, Tom. Hopefully it'll go.
Hey, we got a cab light.
There you go.
After hours of being stranded in the woods, Tom and Tim are finally headed home.
Man, I thought I was gonna walk. What a day, though.
No, it was.
It wasn't the end of a day that the two men expected, but the trip to the mountain was still a success.
At least we found some antlers.
On the season finale of Mountain Men, the day of reckoning has come for Eustace as he fights to defend his land.
We're going to ride into town, deliver some papers at the courthouse.
I think they're supposed to take my land away in 9 days. I'll fight to the death.
In Montana, Tom works hard to make ends meet.
We're just trying to get stuff all done because that's where our income comes from.
Then he comes face to face with the bear that has been stalking his property.
Get out of there!
And Marty battles the weather and dangerous terrain.
The weather's starting to get worse. We ain't gonna make it. Find a place to land. It's the hard part right now.
To make up for a rough winter season.